Hello and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Sitting opposite me is the banana man. You can't see him, it's just as well. What a top he's got on. What a top he's got on the day. It's a very own Simon Ferrick. Yeah, Simon, how are you?
Good, isn't it? Yellow matches my teeth.
Oh, that's not a bad point. It matches the seats as well. Right. What about our guest this morning?
Oh, this could be the best one. Yeah, I'm buzzing. Delighted to get him on.
I'm buzzing as well. I'm buzzing. We've managed to draft him in. The last thing, just before we announce his name and who it is, we're just going to give you a couple of clues. He has been coaching with Boca Juniors.
Best coach they've had, supposedly.
Yeah.
So I heard, huh?
Boca Juniors via Glasgow and Amsterdam, but more on that later. Where else has he been?
Am I talking about that?
Finiston? No. I'm not talking about that.
Finiston. Narrowed it down. It's no Bobby Petter. It's no Mikey Moles. But now, who is it? Who have we got, Si?
It's a legend. It's the main man, Slaney, Paul Slane.
Honestly, I'm fucking buzzing to be here. I swear to God, but this is the truth. I went and got two sunbeds, right, and a haircut. I thought I was doing the
camera.
The cameraman. Fucking can I see the cameras?
We'll take a picture and stick it up. Yeah, 2 minutes,
I'll get
a picture up. So everyone can see
it. So that is definitely a first. That's the first guest we've had on who's welcomed himself onto the programme with a swear word.
Are you not allowed to swear? No, really.
It'd be nice if you try.
Here's a picture. He's looking magnificent.
He is next to me, that's for sure. Two sunbeds, to be fair. You're looking a bit sunbed.
I went for one yesterday for a 10-minute, but last night I was my body fucking on fire.
So, Size, led you here under false pretenses and you thought you were getting the big sit down.
I told him it was a sit down.
I don't know, I just think I read it. I just thought I deserved that sit down.
Well, listen, this is a kind of trial for you. They've got 50 minutes.
Do you want to have
a go on that? You could do it,
I think I'd maybe crumble over sure. The cameras, as I say. I think I would panic with that.
I think you'll. We'll see how you get on. I wouldn't hold your breath.
Unless I join with you. Me and you date together.
That could be good. That could be good. What would you bring at it, though?
I don't know. What I would do, because I would start getting nervous, see if the guy was starting to get a bit rattled with me.
I think Open Goal would be a bit nervous as well.
Would be a bit nervous.
Is that who sponsored me, aye?
I think you could get it shut down, actually.
This is the real deal, isn't it?
That's big time now, man. This is better than Simon Sitton. This is better. Right. Let's get to the weekend review. We're going to crack on, talk about the games at the weekend. We're going to look at the Wayne Rooney situation, getting involved with the England squad as basically a farewell for him, his 120th cap for the Rooney Foundation. And we will speak at length about Paul Slane's career from Motherwell to Celtic to various trial periods and to Ayr United, amongst others. It will be entertaining. Don't miss it and stay with us for the next 45 to 50 minutes. Right, Si, let's get to it. St Mirren v Rangers. Horrible conditions, Saturday lunchtime. But for Rangers, particularly away from home, it was important just to get the job done and get the 3 points.
By the way, if you think that's bad, you should have seen Peterhead on Saturday. 50 mile on our wins. Aye. Our goalie was taking a goal kick and catching it, no joke. That's how bad it was defending fucking goal kicks.
What happens? If that happens.
So see the first half.
If you kick it out in the ball,
that does actually happen.
No, okay. Well, the centre halves were heading it ahead.
Yeah, okay.
But so if you've got the wind the first half, we could have been 7-up in the first half because the wind are worse, and then the second half could have been 7-0.
What was the score?
2-1 women. Bringing on in the end. Anyway, Rangers. The game was what you expect for the conditions. Nothing game basically. Not a lot of chances created. Although St Mirren started quite well, and McGregor again shows his worth by making a couple of great saves. I don't think Candace meant his goal, but I thought after he scored the first, he kind of kicked on Rangers, and probably deserved to win in the end for me.
Yeah, as a wide man back in your day, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Candace's goal?
Didn't he mean it? 100%. I actually looked at his eyes, and he's trying to cross it. So didn't he mean it at all?
You scored a few like that, Slaney.
Honestly, I went on one of the worst runs of all time for scoring. I couldn't score, eh?
How not?
I think I maybe put that down to the coaches, because I'm watching guys like Sterling and all that now, and they're running in behind. I never get told that. So let's blame the coaches, not me.
And the sending off, listen, we love wee Willie.
Oh, wee Willie, man.
We love wee Willie, but really, I don't know what he's think, but there was nothing there.
No, so what was the first booking for?
The first booking was deserved.
Right,
no
okay.
No problem at all. Uh-huh. I can't remember, but there was no complaints. But the second... Sorry, the first booking was for celebrating his goal.
Goal, right, okay.
So that's fine. But by the letter of the law,
he should be booked.
He had to be booked.
But then after it, it's him and Ferdinand, isn't it? Are having a wee...
There's nothing.
Fuck, they don't want to try and get off each other, and then he's sent them off,
uh-huh. And he's, I don't know, he's... Wee Willie, I think, he's imagined some. But whatever it was, it never took place. But I think, Paul, the frustrating part for Rangers in that... And for Steven Gerrard and for the player, he can't appeal it because it's two yellow cards, so he's got to serve a suspension.
That's shocking, isn't it? They've got to see the guys that are. Who makes up these rules, though?
I know, it's not. Neil Doncaster, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Just blame him for
FIFA.
Everything.
It's FIFA, but anyway. He gets blamed for everything else.
But Willie is far too quick with his cards, isn't he? Well, I like Willie, he's a good guy, and he's a good ref, but I just feel like he's far too... He can't wait to get his hand in that top pocket, man. Mm. I don't know what he's got in that top pocket, but he can't wait to get his hand in it.
The boy for Leicester, did you see the one with the boy for Leicester get booked?
Demarai Gray, scoring the winner.
Surely at that instance, you don't need to...
I think the ref was Lee Probert.
But then again, he's doing his job, isn't he?
Because he'll get the job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there needs to be a review for Paul Slaney. You should be on the panel, Slaney.
Okay. I would love to do the media. I'd be brilliant. See, we the boy doing that.
Talk about the referees panel.
Oh, the referees panel. Sorry,
he's desperate to get a gig on this media.
I ain't interested in the referees, to be honest. But I was going to say is about Rangers. I've watched them the last three games. I don't like watching their style at all. I think they're really boring. What's your thoughts on that?
Tell us what's your thoughts. What would you do? What do you think? I don't know. To jazz it up.
I don't know. I just find them really, really boring. I've watched them the last three games, and I don't see much. I watched them via Aberdeen; they're a much better team, but they didn't really create a lot of chances. Mm. But I've heard the boy I was saying to you, Beale, was meant to be unbelievable coaching.
Coach, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's the players. I think
Rangers are playing a lot like Celtic were playing at the start of the season, though. Where they've got the ball most of the game, but they're not really doing anything.
What do you think it's doing to? Do you think it's the lack of ability in the team?
So I watched them here at Hampden against Aberdeen in the Cup semi-final a couple of weeks ago, and they get in behind Aberdeen a number of times, into really good positions on the byline, inside the box, but it was a final ball was really poor. That, when you're just looking, when you're talking about Man City, the amount of goals that Man City score from within 10 yards of both posts at the byline, where they just, whether the movement wasn't good enough for Sadiq or the boys that were running on, I don't know, maybe it was just out of the back. Bad pass, a mixture of both, but when you're looking for that precise 7-8 yard pass inside the box, that's what they seem to be missing.
They missed the boy Morelos that day, didn't they? But yeah. He's good to him, isn't he?
Yeah, he's good to
him. I used to think he was an absolute diddy. I thought he was a diddy, but he's decent.
I think they miss a Rodgick type of player as well. You know, somebody in the middle of the pitch that can actually create chances and score goals. I mean, Arfield, Jack, they're all quite similar for me. Ajari is good on the ball, but he doesn't affect games. He doesn't assist.
I like the boy Kent, I think he's good. He's good, isn't he? But did somebody say he had two loan moves that didn't really work?
I'm not quite sure his full background, but I think he's made a good contribution so far to Rangers. What about St Mirren, Simon? It's a massive game at your old club up at Dens Park this Saturday, and something's got to give. One of them will at least get a chance of a point, if not three, but I wouldn't fancy St Mirren against anybody.
Thing is with St Mirren is the Razor game against Celtic and Rangers, which people might see as a good thing, but that worries me. They can obviously do it, so why not go and do it against the lesser teams? So for me it's a mentality problem for St Mirren, but that game on Saturday will be two teams flinging rubbish at each other. I mean, that will not be one for the neutral, I'll tell you that, because it'll be edgy. I mean, Dundee fans they'll be baying for blood for the Dundee boys, and it's a nervy place to go when things aren't going well, Dens. I think St Mirren will be happy it's away from home, and
I think so.
Because I think their fans are quite similar at home. I think they can get on the boys' backs, and I think when you're down there it's the last thing you need. So wouldn't surprise me if it was a 0-0 draw on Saturday, to be honest.
I'm going up to that game looking forward to it.
Enjoy it.
I hope it's not an 0-0
draw. Take a bottle of vodka, man.
Paul, what's your thoughts on St Mirren?
Who's the new manager?
Warren Kearney.
How did they get the job? Has he been a manager before?
Yeah, he's managed. He's got a good reputation in Northern Ireland. He's also a full-time PE teacher.
Listen, you're going to do this media gig. You need to start doing your research.
I know. I've been. I was all about myself, and I love talking about myself. I really ain't interested in St Mirren, but I'll tell you about St Mirren. It all shows you about Jack Ross, doesn't it? But he was a manager, and I would do anything to go down to Sunderland and start working with him. So. I hope he's listening today. But the other St Mirren manager ain't interested in him and ain't interested in the club, so let's move on. Thanks very much. No, no, listen,
if you don't listen to this show before, the part of the reason you're on is
to
show up my answers. Right, okay, let's move on to one of your former clubs then. Celtic, 5-0 against Hearts. They absolutely destroyed them, didn't they? I mean, you look at Celtic's form domestically in the past 3 or 4 weeks, they're really looking the part again.
Well, I was at the game, and it's a funny one. It seems to be since Brown and Ensham's came out the team, it seems they're playing unbelievable. The fit, but I feel in the league they're great. Now, the last month or so they've been great, but it's the European that kind of worries me. What is going on there? They can't seem to be getting that at all. Can't they? I think that might be down to the other teams are just better players. I don't know, but the certainly the form in the league is absolutely brilliant, and they're great to watch again. I think the start of the season will be a bit, it's a bit boring at times, but no. And I tell you, James Forrest is one of the best players. Are you ready for this? One of the best players in the world. There you go. He's that good. He is that good. And it's great. And even wee Callum McGregor, he's a great player as well. And I know no one will talk about Scotland, but I'm just going to go there. People keep saying we've not got the players. We have got the players. We Ryan Fraser, he's got, I think he's flat. Brilliant.
Players,
I mean, yeah. Imagine him in Forest running, he's a defender, you would hate it. So, listen, I know we're not talking about him, but.
Well, listen, on that point, then, pick up on it. If you've been genuine, you're saying that you think James Forrest is one of the best players. Okay, that's fine.
Maybe not the world, but he is.
So, he's not one of the best players.
No, well, I think he is, but I just don't want to
stick with it. Have if you say that, no, if you're, what I'm going to ask you is.
Me and you're getting on great today,
what would you value? What would you place his market value at then?
But it's weird because Van Dijk, he went for 12 million or something, didn't he, for Celtic? So I would say 12 million.
12?
Aye, but I think, honestly,
in that bracket.
But that's a good realistic valuation. I thought he was going overboard in that.
No, but I think because he's at Celtic, but I think he is that good, honestly. I think he's such a special player. Mm-hmm. Remember
see,
when he's...
The other one that he's mentioned who's been getting plaudits, but he's been doing it consistently now for 3 years at Celtic, is Callum McGregor. Brilliant. He really does look the real deal, doesn't he?
I think Slaney and Mark Follin have been... speaking to each other, because Fozzie says he could play for Bayern
Munich. I read that, yeah.
I don't think he's at that level at the elite clubs, but no, what a good football player.
He would probably.
I agree. I think Bruni's been great for Celtic.
A legend.
I think in the league, especially when they're dominating the ball the way they do,
Don't probably need the two of them at the end and entrance, so I don't. Maybe.
I think McGregor plays really quick. You know, he only needs two touches. He's always he knows what's around him all the time, and he plays forward all the time. And I think it brings Rodic's game on as well, because the amount of times that McGregor finds Rodic in the wee pocket, and Christie as well, pace, power, good technically. I think they've looked great the last few
weeks.
Christie,
will play for Celtic regularly?
He is, mate. He's playing.
But I mean, when all the players come back, though. Long term.
It's up to him. He's given himself a right good chance.
He's flying, to be fair. So, good on him.
But you're right. It's when they're all fit, they've got a big, big squad. Mm-hmm. So I think we forget that, how big a squad that they carry. And when they're all fit, you're looking at 5-6 top quality players, not even getting on the bench.
I think the midfield especially. I mean, some great players in the midfield. And I think the big boy Benkovic, we've not really gave him a credit on this as well. I think he's been excellent since he's came in.
Yeah.
People are raving about him. And I think as well, he's good for playing out for the back. If you want to play the way Brendan Rodgers wants to play, I think you need a guy like Benkovic who can actually play at centre-half.
By all accounts, it looks as though forging a good partnership with Boyata.
I think the two of them look great. I think Celtic have maybe missed that, a good centre-back, to be fair. But no, I think he looks the real deal. Again, I think it's in Europe I want to see them perform. But I don't know. What is your thoughts on that one with the European? I'm really wanting to get to the
he loves the European culture with South America. There's
what I'm
European,
all about.
There's South
American, but you know what I mean.
What's your thoughts on it?
I don't know. I think Brendan Rodgers has done an absolute amazing job. And you get these idiot fans, don't you? But after one game, and they say, I don't know if he's the right man.
Fans are listening.
But I tell you, I'll tell them in their face as well. So I ain't hiding for them. And I think, to be honest... He's unbelievable. We must say Celtic are so lucky to have him. I just don't know what goes on in Europe, especially at home. Celtic used to be so hard to beat.
It's not been a fortress for a number of years now. Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe Celtic, the teams are just the money in football is. Celtic can't go anywhere near these teams money wise. So I don't know.
Well, certainly we've got a big game on Thursday night at home to Leipzig, and 3 points will keep them right in the hunt, as it will for Rangers. Real tough game for them away to Spartak Moscow. They go into that game top of their section. Just to stay with it domestically, Si, Hearts, they're still top of the table, but are we starting to see the injuries that they've had, and they've lost Stephen A. Smith now as well, just taking its toll and really coming to bite them?
I think Hearts, depending on how long the injury for, I think Hearts will struggle to stay in the top three now. I think Aberdeen have came into form. I think Hibs will get back, and Rangers as well. So, listen, see any team in Scotland, maybe bar Celtic, as we said, the size of their squad, but if you lose your three best players, it's going to be tough. I mean, Naismith, Ekpeazu and Souter are the spine
and
of their team.
As well,
and Behra as well. You know, I think Behra is close to coming back, but the age he's at, it'll probably take him a while to get fit. And it's going to be tough. One thing I'll say is a manager that could probably do it is Craig Levein, because I think he can change his tactics quite well, and he could probably go a bit more defensive now. And
what did
try
you
make
of him talking about that? He's the way he tactically used his team on Saturday, basically came out and held his hands up, said it was his fault.
It's great.
It was very refreshing.
Great. I don't think you see enough of managers. You know, I think a lot of the blame now goes on to players, and it's very refreshing to see a manager hold his hand up. But I can see where he's coming from, because as I said, if you go to Celtic Park with three of your best players and they're there, it's only natural to kind of go more defensive, I think. They ended up getting a doing because of it, and he's came out. And of course, it's to keep his players' confidence up as well. I think if you go to Celtic Park and get beat 5 and your manager comes out and slaughters you, you know, it really deflates the players.
But Paul, I mean, I think give credit to Hearts, as much as we might all agree that they're starting to wane a little bit, and we'll maybe see them dropping down the table. For the first 10 games or so, for the first quarter of the season, they've really brightened it up, because nobody really expected them to come through and have that fantastic start and be top of the league.
No, I was over in LA at the time, so I never really seen much of it.
He's dropping some names in the day.
I was in LA, listen, I was unbelievable with it. But we're talking about Hearts. Hearts it's absolutely brilliant. But it's sad.
Jason Statham, stunt double. Making Fast and Furious 23 or whatever.
Elton John's stunt double.
No, sorry guys, I should really concentrate on Hearts. I'm really, really buzzing with the way Hearts started. They made a great...
Really?
Nah, to be honest. Honestly, I don't want to say... Listen, they made a great start. They made a real great start. But unlucky for them, that will be all it was. Because you can't lose... Any team will struggle losing the best players, but these teams haven't to get
the size
of squad. Thanks very much, guys. I thought it was brilliant again there. What a start I've made in this show.
Well, I'm going to stick my neck out here. Right? I'm just thinking back to something that you said just 6 or 7 minutes ago when you were blaming the coaches for the way you perform.
I was only a wee joke.
I'm just going to throw it out there, and I think the listeners are going to agree. So are you, Simon. I think he's uncoachable. I think he'd be an absolute nightmare.
He's a Scottish Tommy Gravison, this guy.
The attention span of my God.
To be honest though, I'm not uncoachable, because you're another
club
about,
player, aren't
I'm
you?
All about myself. All about attention. I love myself, so I ain't interested in the rest of the team. So you're right. What a start I've made on this, isn't it? Unbelievable.
But see the things with injuries as well, Craig Levein. I feel sorry for managers, because see, if it was a lesser, maybe an experienced manager, you lose three players, you could be doing really well, you lose three players, and before you know it, you lose 3 or 4 games, you're out of job. And it's people don't realise how hard it is for these managers, you know, especially in Scotland when they've not got big squads to bring in quality replacements.
You still got your boots, Slaney?
For Hearts.
Is there a chance to put an advert in there for yourself? A lot of clubs.
He's empty, no, Levein.
Frank McAvenny's his mate.
Is he? Do you want to get me send a wee message? Sit him down and speak to him.
He's jumped the gun. I never said anything about Hearts. I just said, you still get your boots.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to get any Hearts.
Have you had to tell a manager what you would bring a team? Go, now's your chance.
To be honest, I was sitting the manager down and I was saying to him, listen, I ain't in it for you or the team, I'm in it for myself. Nothing to do with ability, attention for myself. So that's simple as that. It really is. I wouldn't tell the manager lies. But what I do miss about playing is the dressing room more than anything. Honestly, I feel out of love with the game, and I know they're going to come out to me, so I don't want to keep talking about myself while I do. But this is, I miss the dressing room. I think that's the best part of the game. So
there you go.
Thanks very much.
Okay, we will definitely onto that. Right. Part of the other games on Saturday, St Johnstone, that was a coot and buster, was it not? Beating Hibs 1-0, and what about Tommy Wright? 4 wins in the trot, 4 clean sheets, and they're looking at that kind of team, because he's changed the style a bit, hasn't he?
One of the greatest personnel managers of all time.
Tommy Wright.
I believe so, listen. We're all
getting that.
I think he's one of the greatest managers of all time, and I don't really want to get into it because you asked Si the question, so Si, on you go.
So back in the real world, Si. Tommy Wright though, what a fantastic job, eh?
It's a sign of a good manager, I think, Mark. He's I think they struggled last year, as we said, and he probably seen that his tactics, the game's moved on, I think, for Tommy. You know, he was hard to beat and they played quite long ball, St Johnston, I thought. And fair play to him, he's went and got players to suit what the SPL is now, and I think you need technical players in your team.
Just feel free to keep talking, if you hear any rattling in the background.
That's his heat that's rattling.
Paul, that's Paul, just walked away from the podcast to pour himself a cup. Well, you're after, then I'll take a cup of tea.
Get me a tea as well, Slaney. I think with Hibs, I think the one thing you didn't want after that furore, as I say, last week, was to play St Johnston.
Yeah.
Because they are tough to beat, and as I say, he's added good technical players. I like the boy Kennedy. Mm-hmm. I know boys that played him at Portsmouth last year, and they really rated him. Yeah. I think it's a good signing for St Johnston to get him. I was surprised they got him.
Yeah.
One, I think he'd have been on good money at Cardiff.
Uh-huh.
I think he did other options in England. Yeah. And he's decided to come to St Johnston.
Well, the books, Everton, was it Kilmarnock was a boy, Everton took him and got a couple of moves, and you're right, he brings something different, and Dre as well, then Watt, as much as Tony Watt's not been scoring goals, he brings movement,
I was speaking to Liam Craig last Sunday, and he was saying, I said, Tony's not scored for a while, and he says, listen, Si, Tony's been excellent, as you've just pointed out, his movement's really clever, he wants to come and link the play, something that I think Stephen McLean done for them, who looked like he'd be a big loss, but no, Tony and the boy Kennedy, and I think the boy they got for Ireland, is it McMillan. He's done well as well.
McMillan,
Liam was saying he's a good player as well, so things are looking good for St Johnston. They're looking like a good bet to be a top six side against St Johnston.
That's brilliant. I asked him just for tea.
We'll get back on with us. Sorry, guys, I was away
there. Aberdeen, watched it on the telly. 1-2-1, I felt for Kilmarnock. I think Kilmarnock deserved to lose the game, but if you look at Aberdeen over the course of a week, yeah, they beat Hamilton convincingly in the midweek at Pittodrie, but you go back to the previous weekend, the League Cup semi-final, they beat Rangers, didn't they play particularly well in an attacking sense, but it just shows you what they're about when they're not playing overly well but still getting victories.
I think so. I think Kilmarnock were a better team in the first half. I listened to Dale's interview after the game, and I think he gave him a bit of half time. Again, good players, Aberdeen. No going through the best spell in performance-wise, but again, a sign of a good manager and a good team is when they can grind out results. And they've got a guy now, probably because of us, because we've championed him so much, Lewis Ferguson, who, if you've got a midfielder that can score goals, you've always got a chance, because especially at Aberdeen, where for the last few wee while they've struggled to get a striker who can hit the net regularly.
Yeah.
It's great that they've got a guy like Lewis Ferguson who's popping up with big goals. 19-year-old, so I think Aberdeen will be on the up now, and I can see them moving up the table quickly.
Would you make Aberdeen this season, Paul?
I think this is the first season where I think McKinney should maybe move on, honestly. I think because how well he's done.
He's been there 5.5 years now.
And I think he's done everything he can with them, to be honest, and I think it's probably his time now to get a different club or whatever. But they're starting to get the form again they've had. And in a cup final again, he's done brilliant with them, he really is. But I'm more interested in Kilmarnock. The job Stevie Clark's done is incredible. And if any of yous know him, it'd be great for me to go in and speak to him. So listen, I'm obsessed with Stevie Clark.
In terms of coaching capacity, all about coaching.
I said I'm obsessed with Stevie Clark, I'm obsessed with coaching. I was asking Big Boydie, I was speaking to Boydie, a great friend of mine. I've only really met him twice, but I like saying that. So I've met him, but he said Stevie Clark's brilliant, and he said he never shouts. He said he never ever shouts. And I'm really surprised at that. Since I've grown up playing and whatever, coaches have always had that side to them.
Do you think you'd have played better under a guy?
I probably would have, but I remember Chris McCarthy, Celtic, absolute genius as a coach.
By the way, see if you're watching an endorsement.
This is genuine. Chris McCarthy is one of the best. Probably he is the best coach I've ever had.
Right.
He was a shouter, but he never shouted at me, and that's the difference between the best coaches.
He put his
arm around me, and that's the sign of the best coaches. Just like me, I'll slaughter boys if they deserve it, and put my arm around maybe the fragile ones. Do you know Stevie Clark?
Do you want to give him Chris Boyce testimonial?
Is that coming up?
We draft you in week and Saturday.
Be great, wouldn't it? That'd be good for me. Get myself.
Well, that's just a bit of interest. When you're dealing with the Boca Junior boys, and you're lambasting them? Is it in Argentina? Is it in Spanish? Or is it?
Well, they do. It's obviously it's in America, Italy. As I said, I was there for 6 months. What a time! They say there's the greatest coach they've seen. But I was working with a guy, Daniel Greco, his name is, right? And he, his best mate is Menotti, the Argentinian manager.
Yeah.
When, what was the World Cup he won?
78, Holland? Yeah.
78. Didn't he deserve it? I told him that. but he was working, he's, that's his best mate, and he actually said, Paul, you remind me a lot of Menotti. And I was like, my God. I said, well, what a compliment, but it was great working with guys like that. But I was working with under-16s over there, and it was the first time I'd actually been challenged as a coach. Over here, I'd been working with youth, community level. But over there, I was working with the under-16s, under-18s, and you notice the bad, I've seen to you say earlier about, I wish I had started coaching when I was playing, because you notice seeing people maybe show a bad attitude, it sticks in the coach's mind. And I remember I took a boy off, he was having a howler, and I took him off, and he went to shake his hand, and he snubbed my horn. So I've chased him, I was going to say, I swear, I chased him and said, don't ever disrespect me again, and it stuck in my mind. So I remember when I was a player, some coach would shout, you'd be like, do you know what I mean? So I don't know, but I just wish I'd maybe done it. Where are we actually talking about here? I forgot.
I don't know. You've been liking a bit of LTL, haven't you?
Do you know Terry Venables? Well. He's the greatest coach of all time.
He was nothing short of a fraudster, to be perfectly honest with you. And it doesn't bother me to say it, because me and Terry, we were quite close at one point.
He's in for that Albion Rovers job, Slaney.
But what's happened?
He missed out in the breaking job to Barry Smith, but he's in for Albion Rovers.
Oh, dear me. I'm
sure that's maybe because he's done a lot in the game, but I know him well, and we don't go anywhere at all. Difference of opinion in the game.
That opinion on Terry Venables is solely Paul Slane's.
What a lovely man.
we're going to move on. I don't know where we're going to end up next, but we'll try and stick to the script today. But farewell games. English FA announced this week that Wayne Rooney is to make a return to the England squad. There's a farewell game to him against the USA at Wembley later this month, and it will get him his 120th cap and money going to the Wayne Rooney Foundation. Right, Si, do you agree with this kind of idea, bringing players back under these circumstances? It's an exhibition, it's a thank you, it's let's all praise Wayne Rooney, and his foundation gets a few quid in the process. Is this really about Wayne Rooney, or is this about the English FA trying to fill Wembley for the game?
So is this an international friendly?
Yeah.
No, I don't agree with it at all. No. I don't see why this is happening. See, if he wants to do something like this, why not do like a soccer aid? And then we can celebrate him that way and help charity that way. But I mean, a date in an international friendly is just not right for me. I mean, these games are serious games. They're a bearing on your ranking in the world. There's young guys that would be desperate to play in a friendly for England. I mean, they're saying to celebrate him, but he's had 120 games to celebrate. It's just not for
is
me.
Is it cheating in international football when they do it? And
I think so.
I suspect, do you really think that Gareth Southgate would be in favour of this? No. When he's talking about bringing youth through and what you're doing, and all of a sudden, with all respect to Rooney, as much as he's playing well for Washington out in the MLS.
Honestly, my granny could play well in that league. It's absolutely hopeless. And as soon as you as a player go out there, you give up that international spot right away, and he shouldn't. It's superb, Si. And I tell you as well, 100. If it was maybe making his 100th cap, you could maybe say, right, 100 cap, 120. What does that mean? Leave the man out the squad. Sorry, I get angry with that one there.
What do you think? What do you think, Mark?
No, not for me. The only thing I would say is there'll be good charitable causes that will benefit from it. So that's a positive. But in terms of international football, no, it's just something that doesn't quite sit right with. But as much as I like Wayne Rooney as a person, I think he's been a brilliant ambassador for the game. Likeable guy, top footballer. But I just don't think that this sits. Because I think you're opening the floodgates for you know, and all of a sudden, okay. But maybe that's what we need to just respect now, that's what international friendlies are, because if you can't sell them, if you've got to add a wee bit to jazz it up, then maybe
he is a legend, to be fair.
He's going to get a farewell game, then where was Terry Venables' farewell game when he was manager?
Exactly, didn't deserve one. They've got the same mind as me.
He could be back as manager.
Where does he tell
if that happened, it would be all fun.
He's still in Spain, Paul. So if we go on the theme, let's imagine we're in favour of it, and we go on a theme and Scotland decide to do it, is there anybody that you think, I wish they'd get an extra cap or two, or I wish they'd reach 50 caps or 100 caps, or
Frank McAvenny.
Macker. What's Mac on, about 20 caps or Scotland?
20 caps. You would need to say Douglas, wouldn't you? No?
102 caps.
If he was, if anyone was going to get a farewell game, it'd be Dalglish, no?
He got a right good one out there. Oh, did he? I think it was a friend against Romania, if memory serves me correctly. Okay. But I think he was okay. But if like somebody like, say, for example, James McFadden, uh-huh, who's on 48, 49 caps.
Faddy spoke about that in an interview with, yeah, didn't he? It was, yeah, Levine that never gave him. Definitely. I mean, Faddy's probably gave myself the best moments watching Scotland. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the goals he scored and performances he put in. I think Faddy would definitely deserve to get an extra game and get to 50 caps. If that's what they're going to do, then for me it would be McFadden. Uh-huh.
Paul?
I suppose I would say, like, I don't know, to be honest. The only, I'm maybe just going to go away from that wee bit of question, but this is me being serious.
Right,
see how we used to produce players like Dalglish and that, what do you think's happened? Where do you think we've went wrong? Why are we not producing these players anymore? Is that, I know we could talk a full podcast on that, couldn't we? So sorry about that. I'm really happy.
You two are young coaches.
I don't think I've got a Spanish coach over at the moment who is a pro licensed coach. He says the difference is he doesn't see anybody playing the street. And that's a Spanish guy. I really don't know.
I was saying to you in the car, Paul, on the way over here, I think there's a lot of coaching now in Scotland where it's coaches tell players what to do on the time. I see a lot of that. Overcoached. Whereas I think put on drills where they need to make up their own, make their own decisions under pressure. I think the top players can do that. I've said that before. Top players that I've played against can take the ball in any position in the pitch and deal with it. And you didn't get that by standing at a cone and passing it to another cone, then running at another cone. You get that by being in situations where you need to deal with the ball under pressure. And I think we need to see more stuff like that for the kids.
No, that is one that we can get on it, and we will. We can have a more in depth discussion.
What about you then, Matt? Because you've seen a lot of Scotland, so who would you give a farewell game to?
Hey, honestly, can you think? There's nobody.
Nah.
There's nobody that jumps out at me. Mm-hmm. To be perfectly honest, in the past 20 years, well, I'm not saying with Pat Camden, but Craig Brown was the last manager.
Definitely got
a tournament, and it was a shame because he resigned prior to the when Scotland didn't qualify for Euro 2002. Euro 2000.
He's a man right up his street, isn't he, Craig Brown?
Wee Brownie, yeah.
He'd get on well, wouldn't he?
He was opposite Whitman with Motherwell.
Oh wait, uh-huh. Do you like him?
Aye, he's all right.
Craig was. So, to answer your question, I don't know. I don't know, but be interested to see the crowd and see how that. Like in a Wayne Rooney.
See, before we just move on about this, with the Argentinian coaches over in LA said to me that over in Argentina and Brazil, they don't have academies at all.
No?
So players are playing the boys' clubs, with other teams, school teams, up until like 15, 16. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, they've not got academies. So I think the academies are good though. But maybe they do take a wee bit of, as you said, the letting the player do what they think, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I do think.
That's a problem just in society now with kids in general. When you're a parent, I'm a parent, and you think the amount of stuff that you do for your kids, you actually don't allow them maybe just to go out. They're picked up, they're taught, bum, and it's just a problem in society. You actually don't allow them to do enough for themselves. You should kind of, every now and again, just throw them in at the deep end.
I took my kid up to Broadwood last night just for a wee kick about me and him, the two of them actually, and after 5 minutes I'm throwing balls to him and just letting them volley, and then I start to find myself coach's technique, I'm thinking, what am I doing, man? The kid's 6-year-old, just leave him to kick the ball over the fence, do you know what I mean? So you're definitely right, we mollycoddled him too much, didn't we?
And to be fair, when your boy turned around and said, Dad, you know, you're on the bench at Peterhead, leave me alone, let me go on, mate.
He does say that, by
are you not starting for Peterhead?
Oh, of course.
Of course, what a player, yeah.
Right, we've got it. We're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground, in association with our friends at William Hill. I'm Mark Guidi, joined by our own Simon Ferry, and our special guest today is the one and only Paul Slane. You will have heard of him, but have you not? You'll certainly know if you've been listening for the past half hour.
And this is going to go on for longer than
50 minutes.
Is it only 50 minutes?
His wiki page, then you realise why we've got him on. I make it sigh, we have left him 19 minutes. We've got 19 minutes of goal.
That's not good enough.
Cover up. Right,
know.
Let's get to it.
Right, let's go.
Motherwell, started off at Motherwell as a young professional. Tell us about
it. They signed me when I was a first year. That would have been 11 years old. And then I was up there until 18. But I made my debut, I think, 16. What a great club. Really good club. Great for young players. want to make it, and they're really good. And honestly, great coaches, as I said, Chris McCartley's there, who is a total genius. But it's just, it's a great club. I had great times there. When I left Motherwell, it was probably not the nicest ending because I had a great time there. I'd met great people.
What was good about the coaching at Motherwell? Were you allowed to?
I just thought they were great coaches. Aye, because I was obviously out in the wing. But Chris McCartley used to say, his team talks used to be like, get Paul the ball. That was it. Get, and it made me feel amazing. Mm-hmm. I thought, I'm going to win this game for us. But the coach, the coaching was great, and they did. They made you express. You let you, they would allow you to express yourself. No, it was just great. I had great times. I really did.
So you're into the first team. You're playing European football. Did you, even as a kid, as a young teenager, did you feel comfortable?
Right, totally comfortable.
You belonged in that environment.
That's my environment. Champions League. I was 17. I played Europa League with Motherwell, and I felt something wasn't right, and I realised that which wasn't right was it was Europa League, and it wasn't the Champions League. But I did, listen, I was 17. And I smashed my first game. I think I put one top corner. Actually, this is brilliant. I tried the Robbie Keane celebration after it, and my hands collapsed in the grunt. So I've just felt right in the grunt, and all the crowd are cheering me. So that wasn't the most. Because I'm nothing, I told you about attention, and that wasn't a good part. But listen, it was a great goal I scored. I was the best player in the park that night. We were playing the team, Flamitari something, for Albania, in Europa League. Hopeless team. But listen, you've got to play who you're up at. Europa League, I said, it's not my level.
Can you remember your debut, Sonny?
I came on with Mark McGee, V. Hamilton.
Did you know you were coming on? Or?
Well, I never. But I should have been on months before that. I really should have. So when I came on, it was only the last 10 minutes, and I wasn't really that bothered, to be fair. I was brilliant when I came on as well. We're up 3-0, but I actually made the team play better, would you believe?
That's actually what I was about to say.
Not a problem.
I was about to say, be serious for a minute, stop the self-deprecate.
Right, all right.
But actually, I've got it wrong. You've done it, you sat there and bummed yourself up. Right, for 10 minutes, be serious.
Right, let's go.
Seriously, be serious, because we'll get to what's happened to you and where you are now, mm-hmm. and why it's happened. But you clearly were a really good young talent. And we're talking about losing talented players to the game. Why are we losing them? Why are players not coming through? Why are we not qualifying for World Cups and European Championships, etc., etc.? So you're a boy that's had talent, and you've not fulfilled that talent. And explain to us why. But be serious, you've got your move to Celtic. Celtic paid, what, 80 grand or something for you?
I don't know. It was compensation. I think my contract was up.
So they paid, so some paid money for you. So how do you feel when, you know, as a kid, all of a sudden that you've ended up at Celtic, and as a bright young Scottish winger, you've got the chance to go and play for one of the biggest clubs in the land?
No, I remember when they were interested, and I remember people were saying, oh, you can't go there because McGeady's there, Maloney's there, Forrest is there, you're never going to play. But that made me want to go. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go and learn off these guys and then eventually play. Obviously, it never worked out that way. But that was why I wanted to go. And that was, I think people say, oh, it never worked out, you should have stayed with Motherwell. But I've had about 6 operations in different parts in my leg, so it doesn't matter if I stayed at Motherwell. If I get injured there, I couldn't play. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So, I could never have ever turned that down, never.
Mm-hmm. What did you enjoy? What did you get out of it? Did it make you a better player, a better professional?
It was the levels at Celtic are brilliant. I think it was Stuart Kerr when I was at Motherwell, said, it's every day you need to be at your very best in training, and that was right.
Did you find that hard?
Aye, I did actually, because I wasn't the best at training players. Mm-hmm. I was a winger, and I like running at players, but at training it's a lot of possession and that. Mm-hmm. So when you weren't the owner, I used to go home and just eat away at myself. Why did I know I was bad today, thinking I was the worst player? But mm-hmm. at Motherwell, you get away with that kind of. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to Motherwell, because it's a great club, but at Celtic, you do need to be a side, you need to
I
be
found
there.
That as well. Every day you're judged, especially when you're a young boy coming through. If you have one off day, you might not be back in the first team for another 3 or 4 weeks.
Because I take it, you've talked about it, it's when you go into that environment, into the first team, whether it's into the dressing room or onto the training pitch with them, they're ruthless. There's no hiding place.
And see, if you are having one, by the way, everyone will know about it, because they'll tell them. And as a young player like
that, was tough.
I would train and I'd have a bad day at training. I'd be thinking about it for weeks on end, because I say I'd be back with the reserves and I'd be thinking about that training, and it eats away at you.
It does.
And the next time you're up there, you're nervous, because you think, I can't hear that sort of session again, or I'll not be back again. That'll be me finished completely. So it's tough for young players coming through to say, like, And I understand it.
No, definitely. Every day you need to be, but it's a good thing as well. I think it makes you a better player. But it's a lot of pressure at clubs like that.
Like, straightforward question: were you a good professional?
Aye, I really was, and I think maybe now people think, obviously, with some stuff that's happened, that he's a bit crazy. But honestly, I never really had a life, to be honest. Like, outside of football, I never go out drinking. I took it. It's, honestly, see if I had maybe drank a can of Coke or I ate, so I would be thinking, why have I done that? Mm-hmm. I took it that serious, maybe too serious. Mm-hmm. I think I maybe took it too, and I had no life. And as I was saying, maybe had a bad session. That was all I sort of had. So it just, as I said, ate away at me. I think I maybe did. I didn't have a life outside of football when I was there, or Motherwell or Celtic. Never ever went out. And
so
I
said that. So you're telling us then that you were dedicated.
Oh, 100%. It was everything to me since a wee boy, and I think that was with my dad and mum sort of brought me up. But I think you've got to be like, no, I don't know. I think you've got to be, but I said, I don't know maybe whether I should have.
But so tell me this, so you're talking about the coaches and senior players. Did nobody kind of spot that in you in terms of, we need to bring Paul in, we need to kind of help him relax or stuff like that? No, did anybody take you aside, put an arm around you, give you a pep talk and say, look, this is what you're doing well, or this is what you need to go and do to go and make the step?
I think it was different though with me, because I had so many injuries. So, but when I signed with Celtic, I went into the reserve team, but I think half most of the reserves were on loan. Mm-hmm. So I was there with, it was like five boys. So I'd went for a Motherwell dressing room, full of Scottish boys, were just a family. And then I went into this dressing room where there was six boys, I think four were foreigners, couldn't speak English. So at first it was really hard. I was like, why have I came here? To go to the reserves, but obviously you need to work hard and get into the first team. But mine was different. I got a lot of injuries. The first injury I got was my knee straight away, my cruciate. Yeah. And that was the first time. I think people talk about now depression and all that, and obviously people talk about it then. But I never used to, when somebody said that, I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. I never, if somebody said to me I had depression back then, I'd be like, what's that? I didn't know.
And then so you had it then, you were depressed?
Yeah. My knee, I don't know, it became, honestly, I don't know if you remember, si, but I was somebody at Motherwell who was the loudest in the dressing room. I would love just, honestly, I would used to go in 8 o'clock and stay to 4 or 5 o'clock. Just love being, I hated going home, sitting myself, I hated it. So I'd be with all the boys. I went to Celtic and I went through a stage about maybe 6 months where I used to hide for people. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't know
what
if you
talk about at the club, or at the life club, outside used, the football.
No,
as well?
When I went into the club, I used to go in about 8 o'clock in the morning and used to sort of stay away from the dressing room for the boys.
Why?
I think I'd lost confidence. I'd became, I don't know, I just had, I think I lost all my confidence, to be honest.
But going by what you're saying then, you clearly were depressed, what was going on in your professional life is,
I just couldn't,
getting you down.
I couldn't handle with the injury for a start, being out that long. And I just didn't know what was going on, honestly. I couldn't.
Did you try and get help? Did you
I spoke to Lenny. I spoke to the gaffer at the time. He was brilliant with us. He's been through stuff and he spoke to us, but it was the first time I had it, and I just didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, see the toilet in the I used to sit in the toilet in one of the change rooms that weren't getting used. Sat in there and had for the full of lunch. I used to never go up for lunch. That was how, and that, if somebody at Motherwell heard that, they'd be thinking, how's that? That guy was always the loudest, but it must have got a grip of me.
Did you ever recover from it, Paul, at Celtic? Did you ever get to the stage where you felt comfortable?
I came back from my knee, and then I get back the first couple of months. I think I was fit for 2 months after that, and I struggled for the first month just getting back to the speed of things. And I played Airdrie, and I was good that game. No, trying to be big headed, but I was good, and I felt myself back. And at the end, last minute of the game, an Airdrie player came in and smashed my ankle, and I felt so. I burst out crying on the pitch, and something wasn't right then. And I think for that injury, I never was the same. Never for the same. Like, I got
what age were you then?
Maybe 19, 20. But I was never. Still to this day, I don't think I've ever been the same. My ankle never really recovered right either. Like, I went doing a good surgery. Celtic treated me brilliant. But the surgery didn't seem to really work. Like, it worked, but I couldn't strike through the ball.
I'm the same with my ankles, mate.
Still, I couldn't strike through the ball, or see, try to take off to jump or anything, yeah. Or take off quick. It was just agony around the front of my ankle. And I feel to that, and then I remember, so I was out for ages with that. I can't remember, I was out for a long time with my ankle, because I came back, it wasn't right, I was getting injections on it. And then I came back for that, but I remember I didn't have a session with the first team, and it was one of the worst sessions of all time. Honest to
God. For you personally?
Aye. I just kept getting the ball away. The gaffer was on me, and rightly so. Every time I touched the ball, I gave it away. And that session, that honestly, just after that, I remember going to, I think it was went to Thistle, and I was still, for that session, my confidence went on it. So I don't know whether, I was type of player though at Motherwell, even if I had a bad week, I wouldn't really, I mean, affect me because I believe myself and it would be good, but at Celtic, I think I lost my confidence, to be honest.
I think people
underestimate
from depression. See, to be honest with the stuff I've maybe sort of some of the stuff I've done in the past, and so it never leaves my head. No, I'm feeling a lot better now, to be honest. Yeah. A lot better. Feeling great, to be honest, and I love coaching. I coach every day, and it's great. But that wee sign never leaves me. The stuff I've maybe done and.
But it was mainly down to your what was happening professionally in your life at that time rather than something that you suffer from generally.
Aye, because I never knew anything about it. When I was younger or whatever, I never knew what I never felt that. I was always happy, always felt great. And then when that came, brutal, honestly, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
So what would you say, because you hear, you know, there's boys like yourself getting a move, young Scottish player getting a move to Celtic. You hear of kids as well, you know, academies that are trying to get to professional level at 17, 18, 19 years old and break into the first team. Having been through what you've been through at a big club like Celtic, when you're telling us there, you know, it's unbelievable, you're telling us that you're so scared, you're so down, you're hiding, you know, because you've lost confidence, you've lost faith in your ability, you're depressed. What advice then would you give to young kids in terms of the full package, and if they are feeling down or they are suffering low confidence? Go and speak to somebody, don't
speak to as many people as you can, to be honest. Because I when I first sort of felt it, I didn't know really what it was. So I was sort of just think I'm not good enough to be here. I thought that I was blaming myself and all. So that was why I never spoke. And then when I started to learn a bit more, I spoke to people, and then I was just looking at the symptoms, like, that is what I've got. So no, but young players, and people say maybe you shouldn't go. I think some cases maybe you should stay at maybe a smaller club and get a chance there. But other instances, I think you can go to big clubs and chat and try it. Like, there's certainly players that's done it and it's worked for them. So I mean, it's just up to the person. But I think you've got to go with your own feeling, your own gut feeling. I think if you start listening to too many people, then your head will be all over the
place.
That's
why I've got so much respect for guys that actually, James Forrest, McGeady, who have went and done it, because it is tough. And people look at Paul and probably think he never made it because he's got too much carrying on his head. Yeah. Whereas no, it's tough. People just think it's, when you're going to say, like,
to be honest, and I've met Paul a few times in the past and worked with him at different charity things and coaching things, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. With all respect to you, just like too much carry on, bad pro, couple of quid and leading life the wrong way, and clearly that's not.
And Tony's the same. Tony wants the same. I don't think Tony carries. I think Tony's a ultimate professional. I've seen Tony in the gym in the summer. He's absolutely ripped. Looks after himself. He doesn't go out. Doesn't drink a lot. But he suffers with the mental side of the game. And I think there'll be so many kids at Celtic with similar stories to Paul and Tony, and guys like McGeady and Forrest have got that ice mentality.
See, like, for all the James Forrest and Aidan McGeady's and Alan McGregor's and Alan Hutton's,
even
and Chris
Rangers
Bucks
as well,
and all
the
those
same
boys,
yet,
there's probably 20, 25 that don't become one of them, as we all know. So to get back to the point then, and we can't see just at big clubs, but yeah, if you want to see big clubs like you at Celtic, is there enough there in terms of helping you with the mental side of the game and the mental side of your own personality to help you develop and try and become the best you possibly can be? Do we do enough in Scotland with the mental side of the game to prepare young players?
Well, I think back then, that was maybe about 5-6 years ago, I think Celtic were great with me. Like, the doctor, Roddy Lennon, was brilliant on it, and the physios were great with me. I think back then, probably wasn't it, with Celtic were good with me, but I think maybe other clubs and stuff, it probably isn't enough. I don't know about now, because mental health sort of becoming bigger. I think Boyd's doing a charity as well, which is brilliant. People do it because you kind of see it visibly. Mm-hmm. People think, oh, it's nothing, but it's probably worse than anything, honestly. Like, especially in a football environment where you are so up and down. Like, it's the most sport probably, or no, it's probably the most job that you get that. You maybe have a scene at Celtic, like, you have a bad session, it just plays in your mind. And I think people don't understand that. People, it's in the game, well, but I had a guy, I'm Tory Glenn, one time, came up to me, I was coaching the kids, and the guy came up to me and went, you've wasted your career. in front of everybody. So I started, I was like, this guy doesn't have a clue anything. And stuff like, I think people don't probably understand it. So I don't know. I don't know about now, but I think maybe back then, I never really knew anything about that. But I think Celtic were great with me.
See, in terms of now then, in your own mental health and well-being, has it been good for you to be out of that high-pressured environment where you're telling us you were basically beating yourself up every day? So as much as you wanted to play for Celtic, has it been good for you actually?
Well, I thought it would have been. When I stopped, thought it might be a relief. But no. I think you missed that. Mm-hmm. I think you missed that side. I don't know. I think since I left Celtic full-time, it was the last full-time club I was at, I don't think I've been totally the same. I think there's something always I've missed. And I don't know whether that is I want to get back into full-time football coaching. I don't know. But certainly, there's something I've been missing in my life, I think, that wee burn desire. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. And I think that pressure keeps you going. I'm not sure. But it's. I think I thought at the time, maybe it will be good. But when I went out, when you leave and you start thinking, but you've no go at that, you wake up, there's nothing really. I don't know.
There's a void in your life.
There's something definitely missing, and you can't replace it. And I feel now that I'm into coaching, it's replaced it slightly, but nowhere near what you got when I was there.
Tell us, and take us back to the day that you're told that it's finished. We sold it. Did they pay you up?
No,
your contract. What actually happened that day?
I think it was the last of the transfer window in January, and Lennon.
What year are we talking about here?
2012, maybe.
January 2012,
January window. Like that. So Lennon brought me in. He was just saying, listen, we've got 6 months left in your contract. You're not going to play for the first team. He went, but you're too good to play like reserves level. So I want you to go out and get a first team, which was, he was brilliant. I was having a niggle in my hip. I'd done it. I had a twisted it with Thistle, and then it was still there. But I could still play through it, but it was causing me bother. And I should probably have said to Celtic about it. The 6 months to go, I should have probably said, just get this sorted. But because I'd been through so many injuries before, I was like, I can't go through. I was actually like, I can't say to them, I'm injured, like, I need surgery or whatever, I need to speak to people. So I tried to play through it. So I said to Lennon, like, that's good. So I think I got maybe a wee pay up, and then went into Motherwell to train. And I knew my hip wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying to myself, and I said to my dad, I said, I can't go here. And then sign with Motherwell, whatever.
See, I'm injured then.
And then after a while, I'm injured, and I'm back in the situation of Celtic getting injured again. So I thought the best thing to do, get the surgery myself with the pay-up money, and then come back to a club, and it'll be all good. But that was probably the worst decision I made. Then I ended up getting surgery, and I was out for maybe 18 months, and I was doing rehab myself.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not the same.
And at that time, my head was all over the place, like, do you know what I mean? So it wasn't it was never, and then I went to part-time. And it was just, I wasn't the same person or player then at all. I was like, honestly, there was numpties playing ahead of me. Sort of Air and Clyde, honestly, those guys. And so I thought to myself, I wasn't enjoying it. I was going home taking painkillers that night. I need to go to this environment. And then, to be fair, I think it's probably the best thing I've done. I was just chasing. Yeah. I was like, nah, get out of here. And it's the best thing I've done. So
what age are you now, 24, 26. 26. Talk about it then. You're out of football, and you know, this is a good chance to give yourself a block, because I'm sure people have been listening in the past.
It's been great.
20-25 minutes got a totally different perception and idea of you know, when you think of some of the negative headlines you attracted 5-6 years ago. But you're coaching, you've clearly got a love for coaching and trying to help kids. What can you offer people as a coach, Paul?
I was saying to Si in the car, probably people that I've played with in the changing room, I was always loud and having a laugh, so people might think, oh, didn't think he would have done it. But I'm honestly, like, I coach every day of the week, Saturday, Sunday, and I'm up. I'm trying to study all the time with the game, and I'm messaging everybody, can I come into your club? But I don't know whether, with the stuff I maybe done, clubs maybe don't want
to. You don't have any chance somebody to take you in?
I would love to.
Voluntary, just to come in and make
voluntary, honestly, if somebody's, if I could do any job, as in, like, clean the training rooms at Eton, but have a wee chance to watch the reserves, the first team training clubs, honestly, it'd be a dream. I love it, and I read all the books, and I see similarities with me and Guardiola and Pochettino. I really do. I see similarities with us guys.
Sorry,
I was just.
No, but I really do.
One thing he's got to is, I know Paul, hundreds of enthusiasm, loves the game, and he's been through it, which I think is so important to young players coming through at clubs, a guy that's been there and seen the good sides and seen the bad sides. I'm not just saying this because, you know, I think he'll be a really good coach.
I'm so passionate. Honestly, I'm so passionate about the game and passionate with kids as well. I feel I'll go over to Tory Glen this Sunday. We fund fours, young boys at 5-6, do a couple of hours with them, and then there's coaches screaming abuse at these kids. Mm-hmm. Now these guys should be banned for the game. Honestly, they're total numpties. They should be put out the game. They're putting kids after the game. Imagine a 5-year-old and a guy was shouting at you. Mm. I struggled if a manager was maybe hard on me when I was a grown up. Mm-hmm. And then these young kids are getting screamed at. I'm in a great place. I'm an unbelievable coach. my style, my passion, everything. I'm wearing, representing the Boca shirt because I was the best coach there. I'll be the best coach here. No, I love it. I really do.
Brilliant. Well, do wait, see, before we go, can you tell the Turkish honest story?
Right, go on. Finish
on a high. Go
2 minutes.
Go.
Give us a laugh.
Right, listen to this. So, as I said, I got my hip surgery myself after 18 months. I hadn't trained in all this time. So I got a phone call for an agent. The agent's a great guy, well, no. Anyway, got a phone call from me on the Sunday. I can't remember. So anyway, on the Sunday I got a phone call and he said, Paul, there's a Kazakhstan team interested in you, but they're playing pre-season in Turkey. So I'm thinking, a Kazakhstan team?
No, you.
No, me. So I think the guy was at wind up. Anyway, the flight was on the Monday for Edinburgh. So anyway, I go on the plane to Turkey, but you need, in Turkey, I had a flight for Istanbul to Antalya, where they were doing the camp, but I had only Scottish money, and they weren't taking it. I had to buy, in Turkey you need to buy, what is it, what do you call that, like a visa type thing for Turkey. It's only like £15 or whatever, but they weren't taking Scottish money, so I couldn't get in. So I said to the guy, please help me, and I was in tears, floods of tears, Si, in tears, and I was, so somebody at the airport, a random guy, knew we'd seen it, and gave me the money. Honest to God, wow. I said, mate, I'll repay you. Was never going to repay the guy. Ain't interested in the guy. So anyway, I go to Antalya at 3 a.m. and a guy picks us up, right? Picks us up, this guy. Kazakhstan, now, they look Chinese, but they're Russian. Or whatever. No, that doesn't make any sense. But they look Chinese and they speak Russian.
Right. We'll go with that.
Thanks very much. So, he picks us up and he gets there at 3 a.m. 3 a.m. picks me up. We get there about 4. So we get to the hotel and there's 4 guys with suits on. I'm thinking, what's going on here? So 4 of them walk me up to the room with the key and let me in. Lovely big room. I'm like, brilliant, snackered. So the lights are all off. So I put it in my bed and a big guy just sits up there on the bed. Big guy, Stanley Ibe. Big massive guy from Nigeria. Big Stanley. Honestly, God, like, the size of this guy was about 7 foot tall, so wide. But as I say, big boy from Nigeria. Just stares at me. Puts his seat back down the bed. So I'm sitting there like, what is going on here? So anyway, so we're doing pre-season training. Honestly, I'm sick everywhere. I'm like, why am I here? Nobody speaks English. There's half the team are tramps and another half team are minted. Guys walking about with Gucci bags, Gucci flip-flops. I've not got a penny to my name and I'm walking about with the tramps. I'm sitting with the tramps in the corner. Nobody's talking to us. So anyway, we've done this session morning and afternoon. Now listen, this is, you'll not believe this. Morning and afternoon, and they say, be doing the pool at 7:30. So me and big Stanley are in the room, absolutely knackered, and I'm saying to Stanley, I'm not going down here. I said, I'm knackered, Stanley. Big Stanley's grabbing us, you're gone. He can't really speak English, right? But that was I'll get a pic, but honestly, you can get him on a Google, big Stanley, be cracking big boy. Will I talk to him again? Absolutely not. Ain't interesting the guy. But listen, so we go down to the pool, right, and we're sitting in the pool. All the team, about 20 boys, and these 4 guys with the suits on, but they've got back out their trackies on now. And they say, get in the sauna. So I'm like, brilliant, just relax in the sauna, I swear it. So the 20 of us are in this sauna, right, sitting there. So it's just us, the guys with the trackies are outside, the coaches are out. So I'm thinking to myself, please don't look at the watch because you're making me panic there, sorry. So I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? We're in the sauna for 20 minutes, I swear, and I am absolutely...
For 20 minutes?
20 minutes we're in, and I'm panicking, and none of them are budging. They're all talking. I'm looking around to Big Stanley. Big Stanley's sitting like a zombie, and I'm saying to Stanley, come on, grow up. So, the 4 coaches come in with 4 buckets of water, right? The 4 of them, can I swear here, no?
Uh-huh.
The 4 of them, fuck the buckets of water. See where the steamer is? So, fuck it in. Like, the 4 of them, so I'm like, to Stanley, what the fuck's going on here? The 4 of them's done up. I know they can't see me, but you can see me. The 4 of them's done up with towels. It's that. Waving the towels, the steam's all blown out of your face. So I'm like, I'm screaming, what are you fucking doing? I turn round, Stanley's running for the fucking door. The guy's trying to hit Stanley with the till to get fucking back. I'm shouting, Stanley, get back. I swear to God, the 2 years, the rest of them were fine, they obviously date all the time. So me and Stanley were absolutely gone. So Stanley's, they're chasing him with the till. We eventually get put out, and I said, I phoned, I went up to the room that night and phoned, I need to come home. But just, there was a note, just before we end here, Stanley was the man. I was there for a week. I woke up at 3:30 every morning because of him. And he was watching the Discovery Channel, sharks, right? He's watching sharks on the Discovery Channel, this guy. Now, this is what I'm up against. And I'm getting right pissed off now because of this. And he's sitting there. And I wake up and I'm saying, Stanley, what's going on? And he turned around to me and said, sharks. He said, sharks. And what about them? He was like, watch this. Honest to God, Stanley is one of the worst humans I've ever... Lovely big boy. I'll never speak to the man again. He actually sent me a voice.
Sorry, we've got to get Stanley, big Stanley, on a podcast.
You, see if I see that man,
Stanley's taking his and Paul's.
Just before we end it, big Stanley took my suitcases down to the reception, but he walked my suitcases down. I said, right, Stanley. So he's walked in with the suitcases. We gave ourselves a cuddle. It's big Stanley started greeting when I was leaving. We got on that much.
Tears of joy.
Honestly, we got on that much. We were great. We were best of pals. And he said, keep in touch. And he sent me a voice note a couple of years ago on the WhatsApp, and he said, hi, Paul. Things aren't going well over here in Nigeria. Can you get me a club in Scotland? And I wrote back, ain't interested, you're hopeless. Thanks very much for the podcast. I have been superb. So Stanley's nothing short of his Guinness.
We've had 1 hour and 2 minutes. It's been great fun. It's been off the cuff. It's certainly been off script. But there was a real serious element for 25 minutes here of Paul Slane's. For joining us, Paul, and I've certainly got a different perception of you.
Legend. Me and you maybe meet up for your coffee again.
You were, and good luck, and I hope the coaching goes well for you. I hope someday.
No, it'd be great if you know him.
I'm Matt Guidi. It's been brilliant. The Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Thanks to Simon Ferry.
Cheers,
thanks to Paul Slane. Thanks. It's been a podcast special, and I know you'll have enjoyed every minute. Cheers.